Welcome to Virtual School Assembly. I'm your host, Tyler Christensen. I'm a productivity speaker, author, and classroom teacher. Here at Virtual School Assembly, I interview Hollywood celebrities, professional athletes, Olympians, speakers, and educators who share messages of inspiration, education, and hope to better prepare you for an ever-changing and uncertain world. Thanks for joining us. Let's get started. Welcome back to Virtual School Assembly. Today, our guest is Dan Devone. Dan is a five-time Emmy Award-winning sportscaster and sports talk radio personality. He's worked as the main sports anchor for NBC Sports San Francisco, as well as WWE New York and Fox Sports Seattle. He is a global inspirational speaker with a TED Talk that he gave in Chicago. And you can hear him on his podcast, Give Him the Sports Biz and In the Zone with Dan Devone. Welcome to the show, Dan.
Thanks for having me, Tyler. It's good to be here.
So I'm just going to hand you the virtual microphone. The stage is now yours.
Well, thank you for that. I typically talk about, and we had discussed this prior, about the lack of interpersonal communication. How I'm so concerned of how many kids today are online excessively to the point where I think that mentally and the mental health numbers, and in terms of them being detached and going down, as I like to say, this rabbit hole, not being able to get out, has been something of a major concern. But what I wanted to focus on today was more relevant of where we are. You're in your basement, soon to be a state-of-the-art studio. I'm coming to you from my home in San Francisco. And we are in this unprecedented, bizarre times. And we are dealing with a virus, a pandemic that has handicapped everyone in this planet. We have changed the way we live our lives. And if you're in high school, and if you're younger than high school, I can only imagine how difficult that has to be and how frustrating that has to be. Not being able to see friends. I can't even imagine not being able to go to graduation. This time of the year, not being able to be with friends in high school, I seriously don't know how I would comprehend that. It's got to be frustrating and it has to be a huge challenge that I would have to work through if I was 16, 17, 18 years old, 14, 15. What I would say is this. We don't want to go through this. We don't want an earthquake. We don't want things like 9/11. But sometimes what they do is they provide character builders. And sometimes what they do is they make us become better people. I'll give you an example. So there is somebody when I was in college at the University of Arizona. He'll remain nameless. He's a famous sportscaster now. And he and I were sort of rivals. We were both majoring in sportscasting. And we sort of, yeah, we were friends. We were friendly. We were fraternity brothers. When he graduated, he went to radio, got a job in Tucson. He was a Tucson kid. And then his career skyrocketed. He was at CNN. Before long, he was at NBC. He's still at NBC. He's one of the major network stars. He married his co-anchor. Life has been a boulevard of blinking green lights. Now, for me, when I left the University of Arizona, I got into radio, and I was a couple of years behind him. But then I dealt with something that, you know, life throws you curveballs. This is what happens. And I had a parent that got ill. And so I had to put my career on hold. Actually, I got my first on-air job. It was offered in Santa Barbara, California. So I'll never forget this. I packed a car. I leave for Santa Barbara. Mom says, no, 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 no. Everyone was out of the house. I was the youngest. And she said, no, 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 you have to start your career. You need to go. You need to go. And I'm like, Mom, I can stay here. I can, you know, there'll be other jobs. I can stay. I can help out. And she said, no, 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 you need to go. You need to start. And I knew it was going to be challenging for her. She was all by herself. I'll never forget. I was in Santa Barbara. By the way, any of you kids want to be sportscasters? You get an opportunity to work in Santa Barbara as your first job. Go to Key News. It's amazing. It's a studio that overlooks the entire valley. And it's my first day there. And that night, I remember I called my mom and she was holding back tears. And I couldn't sleep the whole evening. So the next day, packed up the car, went to Key News, and I gave them this excuse as to why I couldn't accept my first on-air job. Went back to San Francisco. My career was sidelined and derailed for about a good 3 to 5 years. I stayed in San Francisco, and you're not going to go on the air straight out of college in a market like San Francisco. So I did other things. I ran into this other gentleman whose life has just been absolutely amazing not long ago in New York City. And we were sitting down, and we were having a beer, and we were talking about life. And his life was consumed with his next contract and what he was driving and where he was going, where he was living. And I tried to get past that and just to say, well, you know, what's going on in your world? How are you? I mean, I haven't seen you in so long. Like, what sort of person are you? And it it dawned on me that he was uncomfortable, didn't have the ability to internalize. And what I mean by that, and I listen, I don't mean anything against this person and anybody who lives a charmed life, God bless. But sometimes I think that when you, and life will do this to you, when you have to take somewhat of a road tour and you have to deal with things, that's when you really find out who you are. You find out whether you're a good or a bad person. A lot of people throw those things out. Oh, I'm a good person. I'm a nice person. This pandemic, we're finding out what heroism is, right? We're finding out what people are like that want to go and help those that are in trouble. This is where you define yourself. You don't want to deal with this, but this is what develops character. And so I've had an opportunity to not only grow as in terms of my profession, but in terms of who I am as a person, also there's been this remarkable development, unfortunately, for some of the things that I had to deal with at a younger age. And I compare myself to this other person because when I met with them, and I've been so envious of them, and I'm still not envy, but I'm still friends with them, but it's changed from envy to not pity, but I don't necessarily want to be that person. I think the career is amazing, but there is a lot more in terms of who we are as a people. And sometimes if you're not challenged, if you're not dealing with a pandemic, an earthquake, or you lose this, or you lose a friend, sometimes we lose the ability to determine as to who we are as people. And it's only when we face that fork in the road, what do I do? Do I take the easy way out? Do I challenge myself? Those decisions is what makes us become real people. It's not a job title. It's not what college you go to. It's situations like this and how you respond and the sort of person you are going forward. So as we all deal with this pandemic, you can come out of it as a stronger person. This can be a life learning moment. This can be an opportunity where you develop self-esteem. Self-esteem is not only about achievements, but it's also recognizing some of the things that have gone wrong in your life. This is where you can define who you are as a person, and you can build from this and become a stronger and better person going forward.
Right. I love this message. I've actually had this exact conversation with so many people lately because during this pandemic, it's been interesting. A lot of people who are just normal, everyday, average Joes are doing so well. They're thriving. They're finding opportunities. They're spending more quality time with their families. And other people who we see as celebrities and famous athletes and things like that, they're really struggling right now because the world's been turned upside down and they don't have that same maybe stability, maybe relationships. But this has been, in many regards, an equalizer, this pandemic. And I think it's good to keep that perspective, Dan, that, you know, maybe with this friend you grew up with, you were a little jealous at sometimes. I think we all go through that. Everyone growing up in high school or whatever, they have someone they want to be like or they want to emulate. So we all go through that. But at the end of the day, you're going to find that we often have everything we need right now. We just need to take advantage of that and be grateful for it. So I just want to ask you a little bit more about this experience. So your career was put on hold a little bit because of sacrifices you made for your family. What are some of the opportunities or the blessings that came from that period? We kind of cut that story short, but I want to know, how did you grow as an individual while you were kind of stalled out professionally?
Well, it was frustrating and it's difficult because, again, when you're in your early 20s, you just measure yourself in terms of your job, especially when you have this other person that's doing so well, right, and you can't help but keep an eye on them out of the corner of your eye. But I think what it made me do for the first time in my life, and this might be analogous to a generation Y, X, Z, I don't know, I'm losing track at this point, but there is a generation that has grown up, let's face it, that has grown up in the midst of this remarkable technological boom, right?
Right.
And there are a lot of kids today, and I do mean kids, that are getting into these startups, that are kids that are making money, that are kids that are multimillionaires, and life has been remarkable for a generation because they were post 9/11. There are a lot of kids today that have not dealt with something like this. And again, we don't wish this on our worst enemy. However, sometimes it's okay when life just grabs you by the shoulders and shakes you and just said, hey, listen, as remarkable as things are going for you in your world, in your technological space, whatever your startup is, whatever it is you're doing, and it's great that you're going to retire at the age of 35. It's great that you can travel the world at such a young age. Sometimes as a reminder that we may be in control of the physical world, but we do not control nature. And in other words, mm-hmm. there is a higher being in all of this. And sometimes it just needs to be that level of a reminder. And especially for a generation that's never gone through that, where there's just this sort of cold slap in the face that, wow, I got to throw the brakes on because I can't do what it was that I was doing because it's something that's beyond my control. We can't control the virus. I can't control an earthquake. I can't control a tornado. There are certain things that are beyond our realm of what it is that we can and cannot control. And I think that sometimes, again, getting back to me, what it is that it made me get introspective. And it was leading a life that was, I don't know if materialistic is the right way to describe it, but it was about, you know, what your job is, what you're doing, where you're living, who your friends are. And it was just about, you know, getting a beer, hanging out with buddies. And there was very little of having to go inside. And I didn't do it initially. I didn't do it willingly. But eventually you find out that I'm here and I'm doing things that I have to do while other people are prospering. And it made me stronger because I actually literally had to have that conversation with myself in terms of who are you? Can you get through this? How are you going to respond? And I did. And so now when someone says to me what kind of person you are, I might not be the greatest person in the world, but I do know that my morality and my ethical sort of compass is in check. And I do know that I will do the right thing. And a lot of people can say that, but they don't know until you necessarily have that sort of introspection or go through what it is that I did. I hope that wasn't sort of the long answer there.
Yeah, well, and that leads into something else I want to talk about, and I think you've set this up nicely. When you talk about being introspective and understanding who you are, I think that's the first step. But I think I know enough about you, Dan, that the reason why you're happy is not just because you understand yourself, but because of that foundation, you're able to serve and help others. And I think that's the next step is once you're comfortable in your own skin, then you can reach out and serve others. In fact, I think it was Mark Cuban just recently, he said, for this rising generation, Generation Z, for the rest of their life, in a job interview, the question's going to be asked, what did you do during the pandemic? Were you serving? Were you curled up in a ball? Were you, you know? And I think your life is a testament that if you find those opportunities when the life maybe is a little crazy and you look to see how you can serve, that's what brings real happiness and real fulfillment. I have a question from this. How did that develop for you? Because it sounds like all your life you've looked for opportunities to take care of those closest to you, to reach out and help others. Is that something you learned at home, something that developed over time? How did you become someone who looked for ways to serve others?
I think it came from home, but that doesn't mean that if you don't, my mom was that sort of person. My mom, I always tell this story, she would never watch me on TV. She would occasionally. It wasn't because I didn't necessarily live in the same market but when my mom would come and travel and see me, I mean, she went to bed early. Sometimes she would stay up and late. Her whole thing was just be a good person. I just want you to be a good person. Yeah, I'd love to see you on TV and that. But she's never been career oriented. She was never material. She's from Hawaii. She's very simplistic. She's a Buddhist. She's a very simple but spiritual, deep, remarkable woman. And I think it started there. But if you don't have that sort of element in your life, it doesn't mean that you can't get to that inner peace. And I think that what was sort of bestowed on me at an early age was that's how you define your happiness. And although you would hear it time and time again, and she would always say, oh my goodness, I mean, it's just like, it's like a mantra in my head. It was always be good to other people, just be good to other people, be good. I mean, ever since I was, you know, 4 years old. But what happens as you get older, and what happened to me is that, and especially the industry that I lived in television, and this is when I went back on the air, television, and for those of you that get into TV as a sportscaster, as a news anchor, that TV world and your coworkers and your anchors are always worried about what's the next job. I want to get to New York. Oh, I want to get to Chicago. I want this contract. Well, how long is your contract? I heard she's making this much. He's making this much. And that's sort of the focus. And what doesn't happen is that people just don't stop. And I used to figure this out when I would go home and take walks with my mom, is that just being happy in terms of who you are, in terms of the just sort of the fundamental, are you being a good person? Are you happy with who you are? Because then it doesn't matter where you work. It doesn't matter what it is that you do. That level of self-contentment is so difficult to do. It's easier to get a job. It's easier to get a title. But to get that level of happiness, to attain that, no matter what it is that you're doing, I mean, hopefully you're being a productive person, But to get there where you have that inner sense of peace is something that I think we should all strive for, because when you get there, you're good to go. And then everything else is sort of icing, right? And then the job and the title and everything that comes along with it, the acknowledgement and sort of the celebrity status, that's all great. But if you're defining yourself in that, as I used to like to say, if you're defining yourself by the red light, and the red light goes on and you're on camera, if that's who defines you, if that's who you are, you're going down the wrong road. And you will always end up at some point. It may not be next year, may not be in 5 years, may not be in 10 years, but you're going to have some point where you're going to have to look in that mirror and say, this is all I got. It's just me and my hairdo. And, you know, eventually people get old and you don't look the same. When TV kicks you to the side, kicks you to the curb, then what? You have to have a fallback and you have to be somebody internally, I think.
Right. And that's true. But I know there's kids watching this that are thinking, but I want to be in television. I want to be star. I want to do. And so when you say, okay, well, it's great to aspire to these great things, but at the end of the day, it's who are you inside? How do you balance those things? Because for those kids who really want to make it on TV, they have a long road ahead of them. It's going to be a lot of hard work. They're going to have to do some schooling for that. They're going to have to get some breaks, but, you know, mostly it's just hard work. So how do you integrate being a good person, being anchored and balanced, with still being driven and career oriented?
So I think what's key is, especially in television, because it can be a seductress, and once you get into that bubble, and again, as I mentioned, you start to think about my next job and being on air and what I look like and the new suits I'm wearing, you have to make, at least I did, and I know the people that I work with, you have to make a concerted effort to get outside of it and do something else to define yourself. What I did, I used to work at the Boys and Girls Club. And there was a lot of times that in TV, sometimes anchors will do things so that they can put it on their resume or so that they can say on television that I'm doing this. But I'm speaking specifically something that will define you as a person, that has nothing to do with television, that has nothing to do with something that you're putting out there in terms of your public relations and your self-image. This is just about you doing something where you're giving back. And it doesn't even necessarily have to be giving back. Ultimately, maybe you can start by just some level of, I used to go, the baby step I used to take was going to a museum with my mom. I know that sounds ridiculous in terms of a segue, is how did you get to be this sort of internal peaceful person? Because it, being in this museum, it used to just be so far on the other end of the spectrum of being on camera in the studio. And just suddenly life slowed down and suddenly you're looking at things and it all suddenly made sense in terms of, this is so far removed from television and I sort of like where I am. And in a weird way, it sort of led me to doing things that sort of define who I was and getting back to that sort of inner peace. And I think that as it relates to somebody who wants to get into television, it's a difficult thing to balance. It really is. I mean, I can only speak from a television sports casting perspective because that's all I've done. I'm sure it's difficult if you're an accountant, if you're in the medical field, or if you're an attorney or what have you, if you're a doctor, because you get lost in your work. But I think that as a television sports caster, someone who's on TV, you have to make more of a concerted effort to do something in terms of defining yourself and helping other people. Otherwise, you can get washed up in a world that's just about being on TV, and it's very, very materialistic because it's a very physical sort of profession.
Right. Well, this interview went so far from where I thought it would go, but I love it, Dan. I love that this is where we've come to, because this is what kids need to hear, not just now, but I mean, if we're looking long-term, what are the things that are going to bring meaning to life? Why, you know, the whole reason we're in school and getting an education is so we can have a fulfilled life. Well, you've given us gold in this interview, because it's not about the accolades. It's not about the next gig or the next promotion. It's about finding those little ways to serve. And you've done that so well. Appreciate your time today. If kids want to follow you or, you know, where should they find you if they're looking online?
I'm, you know, my Instagram, I think I'm Dan Devone. and you can get me at dandevone.com, which is basically my website.
Thank you so much for joining us today on Virtual School Assembly. If you enjoyed the episode, please subscribe on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever else you listen to virtual assemblies. And leave us a rating and review so we know what you learned and took away from this virtual assembly. Videos and show notes are found at virtualschoolassembly.com. And if you're a school leader and you're looking for a speaker for virtual or traditional in-school assemblies, or if you're looking for some teacher training, I'd love to connect with you to see how I can help. You can check out my website at tylerchristensen.com. Thanks. You are super duper. Let's go out and make the world a better place. Bye-bye.